Welcome to the Unverified Podcast. I'm your host, Shimmering Potato. With me is co-host Spooky Wagon and a special guest, Rock Narden, a.k.a. Tom. How are you guys doing?
You didn't give me the same intro as you normally do.
What the fuck you mean? This is the same intro we've done, like, the past couple of podcasts.
Nuh-uh. You'll see.
I mean, we're not experts here, Spooky. We're not supposed to remember this stuff.
No one in this call is an expert.
Exactly. That's why it's best that you explain cryptocurrency to us.
I don't understand it. I do get it. It's crypto. It's online internet purchase stuff.
Now, Tom. What is the basis of crypto?
So I gather what you're asking is, what is the technology behind crypto?
What is it, the general use for it?
Well, to break it down simply, everyone knows Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency to come around. What Bitcoin invented was something called a blockchain technology. Blockchain technology is a way to gather and store and record transactions. The original blockchain ledger for Bitcoin, that's all it was used for, was transactions. Who it was from, who it was going to, and how much it's for. The easiest way to visualize the blockchain is just blocks of data. Each block contains a couple things. It contains the data, the transaction histories, a hash. A hash is just like a fingerprint. Each one is unique to the block. And then it contains the hash of the previous block. And containing the hash of the previous block is how it links itself together as a blockchain. So I lost my train of thought there. Where was I going with this?
Well, you're saying it like with a blockchain. I guess it's like...
Yeah, so that's the technology behind it. That's the basis of what Bitcoin did when it first came around. All it was just recording data of transactions of Bitcoins.
All right, I have a question.
Now, go ahead, Swiggy.
Why?
Why what?
Why did somebody make Bitcoin? What was the purpose?
No one can answer that because no one knows who originally created it.
Okay, well, in a sense.
All we know is a name, an alias given. But no one can sit here and tell you definitively why Bitcoin was made.
Okay,
now,
go ahead.
There are some things I've heard about Bitcoin, like the creator and all that. I heard the creator was killed by a sister or something, and somehow that created this whole conspiracy around it, and like someone else controls the market of it, not like the bank per se, but some other entity.
Well, again, a lot of that just boils down to rumors.
All right, I have another one.
There's no singular verifiable source of just who exactly Satoshi was. So when it comes to those kind of stories, I just chalk them up to rumors.
So he's like a Kaiser, what is it, Kaiser Soze or something?
Well, that's the thing. Like, it could have been just one man. It could have been a group. We don't know.
Could it have been aliens?
Highly doubtful.
You never know, man.
That's why I didn't say impossible. I said highly doubtful.
So I have another question.
So...
Why was Bitcoin important? Like, what was the significance of it at that time, and why did it start what cryptocurrency is today?
Well, I couldn't tell you for certain, but the way I see it is Bitcoin solved an economic problem at the time.
Huh.
So Bitcoin was kind of the first decentralized alternative to come along for currency in a major way. So, I mean, everyone knows back in the day, you know, 2013, 2014, Bitcoins were worth next to nothing compared to what they are now. I mean, even back when it was like $40 for a singular Bitcoin, everyone looked at it and said, well, that's ridiculous. You know, that price, well, why is that valued at $40? But the thing is, again, it's an alternative to money, to fiat currency that here in the US, we use the USD, and Europe, they use the Euro, et cetera, et cetera. It was just a universal alternative. So if you wanted to send money to someone in Australia, then you could just simply send it in Bitcoin, and you don't have to deal with any middleman, so to speak.
Yeah.
You just take a set amount of Bitcoin, a set amount of an alternative universal currency, and send it to somebody. And the value will change based on which country you're in. You know, if it's going off the USD, the Euro, the Ruble, et cetera, et cetera. But it held a universal value.
Now, I know the transaction fee is obviously gas. Can you explain that?
My knowledge on gas is limited. It's mainly with Ethereum. So, again, when Bitcoin first came out, the blockchain technology was solely used for peer-to-peer transaction data, right?
Right.
Well,
so like
Ethereum was kind of the first major project to come along, and everyone had been looking at the blockchain technology behind Bitcoin and saying that we could do more with this. Like, this is actually a pretty useful technology. And Ethereum, if I recall correctly, I could be wrong on this, Ethereum was one of the first alternatives to come along that introduced something called smart contracts. So smart contract, you know, compared to just a block in the blockchain containing the data of a peer-to-peer transaction, smart contracts were kind of like little programs introduced into the blocks that would buy or sell coins, you know, based off of certain conditions. And then from there, the blockchain technology expanded more, and now they can keep things like the blockchain technology, the ledger can be used for keeping medical records, the peer-to-peer transactions, and much more.
Right. So how would you go about buying Bitcoin?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to buy Bitcoin. I mean, anyone can, all of the major centralized and decentralized exchanges trade Bitcoin. Again, because Bitcoin is universal, so to speak. Any of the major exchanges, Binance, Bitrex, Coinbase, Gemini, Voyager, Atom, to name a few on mobile. Even certain wallets like Atomic Wallet, you can just buy directly from the wallet.
I know PayPal has an option to buy Ethereum, Bitcoin, and some other
That's another interesting topic, is that here, especially over the past couple of years, corporations and big business and big finance has been making a major push into crypto. I mean, even Cash App now lets you buy Bitcoin.
Now, is it bad to buy from those, like PayPal or Cash App even? Because I've seen that you can't really withdraw it and put it in a different wallet.
I don't know. I don't use PayPal or Cash App. I don't use anything like that to buy my cryptocurrency. If you want, my advice is, if you want to buy cryptocurrency, register with an exchange or use a decentralized exchange. Excuse me.
Now, so we're talking about wallets. Obviously, some viewers and listeners will not understand what it is. Like, you're not supposed to put, like, leave your investments on the market, correct? Just in case someone were to, like, hack into that exchange or, like, some other data issues with it.
Well, not correct? Just hacking. It's a matter of keeping your funds out of reach of the market. And if, like, let's say you just held a Kraken account. Kraken is another centralized exchange. And you went and you bought $100 worth of Bitcoins. Well, that would be the equivalent of just keeping your money, keeping $100 and giving it to a bank. Or you take it and put it in your wallet. In this case, it could be translated figuratively and literally. You would take that money instead from the bank, put it in your wallet. You would take it off of the exchanges and put it in your crypto wallet.
Now, is the common practice buy the dip sell high or just ride it?
Well, there's many different practices based on what you want to do. I mean, there are plenty of people that treat it like day trading, and they'll, I mean, there are people that play with tens of thousands of dollars just gambling on different shit coins, and they'll put in one day, and by the end of the day, they could pull it back out and make a bunch of money and switch it to something else. Or other people put in and invest in projects they think have a solid idea and want to invest in the long term.
Now, which one are you doing?
A little bit of both, to be honest.
So you're looking at those altcoins that are worth a fraction of a penny and then looking to flip them when it goes high?
Yes. But to any viewers, I'm not a financial expert. I'm not giving any financial advice here. But if you want to get into anything of that nature, do your own research and do it heavily.
Now, can you like explain what you mean by do your research and all that? Like look at the history of said coin?
Well, it's simple. On a lot of exchanges, I would say on basically every centralized exchange and even decentralized exchanges, you can see the history of the coin through via a candle chart. And you can make different assumptions based on that history, and there are plenty of videos on YouTube or on the internet that explain how to read candle graphs and candle charts, how to interpret them. But a lot of that comes down to your own intuition, and that involves researching the project itself. Is it just a project that is promising a lot but hasn't delivered much? Is it a product that's already built and is pushing forward? Is it? You just have to look into every project you invest in.
So, is there a difference, like say, mining and staking?
Yes, so staking is... I don't want to mix these words up. I'm probably going to get this wrong, but staking is a way that you kind of liquidate your pool of coins to gain a percentage of gas fees through transactions. Whereas mining is you have a machine dedicated to running and building the blockchain. And in doing so, you have chances to be rewarded with crypto of whatever it is you're mining.
Now, do you recommend someone new to start mining right away? Or would you recommend them to like just buy a certain coin first, and then if they want to,
well, I'm not here to get a rig. I'm not here to recommend any specific coins because I'm not trying to advertise anything here. But when it comes to mining, I mean, first off, mining has a heavy investment just to get started. I mean, there are plenty of, like Monero is a coin that comes out, and I know Monero has the ability to mine off of your phone, but realistically, the return for mining on something like a cell phone is inconsequential. It's pointless. Yeah. Even on a decent computer built for gaming like mine, mining would be kind of pointless. Yeah. For a mining rig, you have to build it to mine. And generally that involves buying multiple graphics cards. They don't have to be top-of-the-line expensive ones. I mean, there are ones you can get out there for $500 or less used that'll work just fine. But you're looking at probably close to a couple thousand dollars for a solid mining rig to start. Correct. So even if you're new to crypto, if mining was something you wanted to look into, it would be a combination of doing your own research, which there are plenty of videos that actually explain how to set up the mining rig. So that's not in and of itself too big an issue, but mining does have a big upfront cost.
Especially with the power bill, I should know.
Well, not just power bill, but just to even get your returns for the money you spent on the system, you gotta have a pretty hefty upfront investment.
Yeah. But it is passive income if you have enough resources to actually do so.
It is. But again, it all comes down to the return. If you spend $10,000 on a computer build to mine, and you're taking up and you're running your electric bill through the roof and burning up sockets and cords, and you're getting what, like a hundred or, you know, 100 or two in a month? Is that really worth it?
Probably not.
So it's all about just returns.
Now, would you say getting into crypto is easier nowadays than it was in the past?
Definitely. I mean, especially over this past year, it's gotten a lot more exposure. You got a bunch of celebrities now that are all tweeting or Instagramming or whatever the hell they do. That a lot of influential people are talking about cryptocurrency now.
Now, Tom, I know you don't follow football, but there was a football player last year who asked to get paid in Bitcoin, and like for his contract. And I believe they managed to work something out to where half his contract was paid in Bitcoin. That Bitcoin now is like worth, let's see, probably another million or two for him.
Yep. Well, so, you see, there's an infamous story from back in like 2013 or 2014 where a man bought a pizza. It was Domino's or Pizza Hut or one of them chains. He bought a pizza for, I think it was something like 10,000 Bitcoins, which at the time only amounted to like $40. But he was able to pay via Bitcoin. I hope that was the best pizza that man ever ate in his life.
I've seen several things so far. I remember you showing me, like, back in the day for a StarCraft II tournament, I think. First place was like $100. Yes. Second place was like $50.
And the fifth to tenth places were like $15 to $20 Bitcoins.
Yeah, at the time. And then there was another video I saw of, I don't know how long ago it was, but this man had the opportunity to have a $13 million home or like a lot of Bitcoins, which would like literally broke his calculator, like how much it would be worth today.
Good Lord.
Yeah. There are plenty of them stories, but a lot of people just didn't. And even now, even with this new big influx of people coming into crypto, not many people do the actual research to understand what it is and to see the value in it. And same thing back then. It was just, a lot of people just looked at it as, oh, it's just it's just some imaginary internet money that won't ever do anything. And here we are.
Yeah, as of this recording,
7 to 8 years later,
Bitcoin is worth $51,000.
Yep. I believe its all-time high is actually 56,000 or
57,000. Yes, that was like 2 days ago.
Yeah, a few days ago.
Now, what dictates like the whole worth? Like, why is it so high compared to other Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies?
Well, again, I mean, what makes anything worth? It's all about what people dictate it. You know, how popular it is, and I think it stems back to what I mentioned earlier about Bitcoin being, because if you look at the technology, Bitcoin is a pretty dated technology. There are plenty of altcoins out there now that do what Bitcoin initially did, but far better. But all of these other coins, these altcoins solve technical problems. But going back to what I said earlier, I think Bitcoin more solves a financial or an economic problem. And that gives people access to a universal currency. And that alone has held its value and, I mean, has kept pumping its value up over the years. There's a lot of speculation on just how well it'll maintain that value once the last Bitcoin is mined. But that's just a lot of speculation.
So for mining, with Bitcoin, there's a finite amount, right?
There is. With every coin, there's a finite amount. That's called the market cap. How many coins are going to be introduced? Or how many coins there are total?
So basically, this is a truly free market, right? Correct. As of right now.
Correct. Because Bitcoin, Ethereum, all of these And again, that goes back to why it holds so much value. These are all decentralized.
Yeah, I remember back in 2014, I think. Remember your roommate, Nick?
Yes.
You're like, I think you two were talking about it, like Bitcoin and all that stuff. And at the time, it was like only $300 to get in. And to me, that was a lot of money. Still is.
To all of us, it was. I mean, back then, looking at it, to all of us, it was.
I mean, we were just fresh out of high school.
I never did the research that I have done now. And I mean, I could sit here and kick myself in the ass and look back and say, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But back to the matter is, Bitcoin has stayed strong. And not only Bitcoin now, but the entire crypto market has been going strong.
Now, I know there's also some, how do you say it? Like, alternative coins that are worthless because of, I guess, memes or what they're meant to be.
There's a terminology for that. They're called pump and dumps. These are coins that are created to make it sound like they solve they serve a good purpose, that they solve a problem of some sort. And usually what happens is, you'll have the people that create the coins just give themselves huge bags of these coins, or these whales will come in, and whales are just people that come in and buy massive amounts of a certain coin, and then they promote that coin everywhere. Everywhere they can get the word out, they try to promote this coin, and the more people that look at it are interested and start buying it, that'll start climbing the price up. And then it's called a pump. It climbs the price up, and then a dump. Once the price hits a certain amount, all of these bag holders that have massive amounts of this coin will dump everything all at once. And when these people sell at the high with massive amounts of coin, it tanks the price. And everyone else that holds that coin is basically screwed out of their money.
And I think one of the most famous ones would be Dogecoin, correct?
Correct. Dogecoin has done it in the past before. And it's why, I mean, If you were someone that was doing kind of like the gambling, so to speak, as I said earlier, where you would put in money at the start of the day and, you know, transfer it to something else at the end of the day, you can make some money on Dogecoin. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, Dogecoin is a meme. It's a pump and dump. It's only receiving attention right now and climbed as high as it has because Elon Musk has been putting out those tweets.
I think a lot of celebrities have also tweeted about it, which also...
Well, it's not just that. I mean, you have celebrities tweeting about all sorts of different ones. Like, I think I just saw recently Gene Simmons had tweeted about Cardano.
Right.
ADA. So now you have a lot of these celebrities getting into crypto and tweeting about it to... But there also have been some instances coming up of coin creators being caught paying celebrities to promote their coins.
Right. Now, I'm not 100% certain if this is true or not. Like, this is one of the coins I've looked into. I've told you about it before. Tron, TRX. Recently, like, at least a week ago, Lindsay Lohan tweeted about it, and that's when I started thinking, hey, did they pay her to say that? Like, tweet about it, stuff like that. Because every one of these, like, D-list celebrities now, were, like, tweeting about it at the same time. It was weird.
The way I see it is it's almost like the new Instagram. How you have all these Instagram promoters that, once you get so many followers, all of these companies take notice and will pay you to just... You have all these people watching your Instagram, right? So they pay you to promote this product. So now whenever I see celebrities just tweet about some random-ass coin that not a lot of people even know about, that alone tells me that it's not a surefire way to tell that, hey, that, you know, that's a paid promotion of any way, but to me it's an indicator.
So is it a bad thing for celebrities to be paid or influencers to be paid to talk about it, or is it just frowned upon?
It's frowned upon because that kind of sets up the idea that it is just a pump and dump. I mean, if you have, I mean, we'll take TRX. I mean, TRX has been just kind of under the radar, not a lot of spotlights on it. But then just, who'd you say, Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
just comes out of the fucking woodworks and, hey, look at this new crypto that I'm invested in, yada, yada, yada. Well, that would lead one to believe that, well, hey, you're going to have all of these people who don't know anything about crypto come in and be say, hey, well, you know, Lindsay Lohan tweeted about this one. This one must be good. And then these people will go in and buy. Well, there's a good chance Lindsay Lohan or just the creators of the coin or just whale investors in the coin are, you know, that's what they were waiting for. And you have this influx of new people come in, and that's a perfect time for people that own massive amounts of those crypto to just dump it all at once. So it's not a surefire sign that it's a pump and dump, but it leads to that high suspicion that it is.
So it's like a, what do you call it? It's like an indicator of what could happen if, correct, you know, someone just comes out of the woodworks, like, hey, here's this.
Correct.
Now, I know you said also for doing your own research, do not listen to anyone else. Like, in comments sections of YouTube or YouTube in general or other forums, because obviously they have their own agenda.
Well, everyone has their own agenda, but when I say do your own research, look in the YouTube comments. And I say that because that's the only way you find out about, I mean, if you're serious about crypto, if you just want to say, hey, I just want to put a little money into some Bitcoin, then that's your prerogative. By all means, go ahead. But if you want to really delve into and get into crypto, and you want to find all these new projects before they hit big, the only way you'll find some of these projects is by, you know, going to YouTube comments or going to different forums or, you know, comment sections of news articles and seeing what people are talking about. And when you find these different cryptocurrencies, research those currencies. You know, look at the white paper. The white paper is kind of like the end-all be-all plan for the coin. It's supposed to lay out the plan for the coin. Read the white paper. Look it up on these different centralized and decentralized exchanges to look at the history of the candle charts. Has it already pumped up once and then crashed hard? There's plenty of different indicators and research to do on every coin you look at.
Now, is it safe, like, to invest in Bitcoin by, like, your identity and all that on these markets as well? Like, if you go to a proven one, not like any ones you never heard of or
well, aren't. that just depends on your outlook, so to speak. Because all of the centralized exchanges today have this KYC is what it is, the abbreviation. It's called Know Your Customer. Know Your Customer is why all of the centralized exchanges require you to prove your social security, your driver's license, prove your identity 100% so they can link a person to that account.
Is that to stop like identity fraud or
something like that? Well, especially like here in the US, they're trying to double tax cryptocurrencies now. And in doing so, buying on centralized exchanges, the US government can essentially go to that exchange and retrieve that information, and they can look at all of your transactions linked to your account, and your account is linked directly to your identity. So that's why a lot of people are in big favor of decentralized exchanges. Decentralized exchanges don't nail down an identity to a wallet or to they have no way to link you to what you buy. And personally, I'm a big proponent, I'm a big supporter of decentralized exchanges.
Now, is there any decentralized exchanges you recommend or?
Recommends a little hard right now because of gas fees.
Okay. So most of the fees right now, are in that.
Yeah, right now gas fees are quite high, but there are still other decentralized exchanges. The most famous one, I'll just go ahead and say it, is probably Uniswap. But right now Uniswap has been suffering for smaller investors from how high the gas fees are. And I know I told you this, Kenny. I was looking at just switching $10 of one $10 of one crypto to a separate one. $10 of crypto, the gas fee for that transaction was $150.
Oh, wow.
So if you're trading thousands of dollars at a time, that gas fee isn't as big a deal. And I don't even believe it's that high right now. I think it's gone down quite a bit. But those pricey gas fees for someone that just wants to throw $10 or $20 in, gas fees on sites like Uniswap have been hurting them. But there are still other decentralized exchanges whose entire purpose is to try and solve that problem. And bear in mind, that problem that Uniswap is facing is because of the Ethereum network. It's the Ethereum gas fees that have been killing them.
So are, like, transactions well known? Like, if you trade Bitcoin to someone or bought Bitcoin on a centralized market, like, just being able to trace it back to you somehow?
Well, the thing is, you can trace almost every one of them. Even if you get it on a decentralized exchange, if they looked hard enough, they could find it, because Bitcoin, the transaction of that Bitcoin is put, eventually it's put on the blockchain. And when it's on the blockchain, it has a fingerprint, an identifiable hash. So every transaction, which is buying Bitcoin directly, even centralized or decentralized, buying Bitcoin directly, buying some other cryptocurrency and transferring it to Bitcoin, all of those count as transactions that will eventually go onto the blockchain ledger and be identifiable.
Would you say it's still safe to use?
Yes, as long as you're not... I mean, we've all heard the stories of those old sites like Silk Road that people used currencies like Bitcoin for illegal reasons.
Yeah.
I mean...
Obviously, we're not...
I in no way condone that.
Yeah, we don't endorse that.
Not in any way, because, I mean, like I said, it's every bit of it's traceable. But there are other cryptos that have been coming out that are trying to solve that problem as well. Yeah. I mean, that's like the whole point of that certain crypto would be to make it more anonymous. Each of these different cryptos that come out, they're in some way they're utilizing the blockchain to fill a purpose. And that's how they gain their value.
Now, would you say in about, I don't know, 10 years, 10, 20 years, you think we'll have like a cold storage, sort of say, like that we can actually use cryptocurrencies like as cash in a sense?
Absolutely. As I've already said, over the past few years, you've had a lot of major retail corporations, All of these different companies, all of these billionaires and millionaires have been investing into crypto. And not just in, and when companies invest into crypto, they don't just go and buy crypto like you and me. They're investing in the technology of different cryptos. So I know, I think MasterCard and Visa just announced that they were pairing with a crypto to handle their transactions. PayPal, I believe, recently announced one. FPOS. Every time you go and swipe a credit card at a terminal, that little terminal uses FPOS technology to register that transaction. All of these different companies have been looking at blockchain technology or similar technology in crypto to utilize. And it's not just limited to transactions anymore. Kenny, I know we talked about this. The official COVID
vaccine,
the tracker for it.
Yeah,
that program, that technology was developed on based off the technology of a crypto. Yes. So it's gaining more and more. Crypto has been gaining a lot of traction these past few years.
I would say, like, my favorite part of crypto is how you can use it for different things. Obviously, I think using this crypto, you want to talk about it a little bit, or should we just keep it open?
Again, I'm not here to promote any specific crypto. I'm not trying to input my two cents into any of that. I'm just here to talk about crypto as a whole.
Yeah, but my favorite part about this is how it, you know, how fast it is and just how it's used in the medical field, because I think it could be a super game changer, obviously, especially how fast you can pull it up records, all that stuff, and keeping it on this ledger. It just makes it easier, and I think it could change the healthcare system in a good way.
Well, it's not just the healthcare system. It's the world as a whole.
Yes.
I believe, and this may sound a little far-fetched, but I do believe that 100, 200, 500 years from now, when, you know, as we now talk about different wars in the past and different milestones and achievements of, you know, the human race as a whole, landing on the moon, you know, king conquering all of Europe, et cetera, et cetera. I believe we're at a point now where we're at a milestone where we're sitting right now. With what crypto and blockchain and all of these different technologies are bringing to the table, it's about to cause a major shift in wealth and power. A major transfer. That's now, why a lot of people are really big on using decentralized versus centralized.
Now, here's a question for you. You know how the USD is backed by the gold standard, and then it's shifted over to the oil?
The US dollar has not been backed by gold standard since Nixon.
Yeah, no. We switched over to oil.
It's not even on oil anymore.
What's it on now?
Basically, hot air and promises.
But do you think, I mean,
being realistic,
you think crypto will be end up being like information-based crypto? You think that would be the backbone of USD, or we just completely switch to cryptocurrency?
I can't say that crypto would for sure 100% replace fiat currency, but let me put it like this: the biggest bar to entry for crypto into kind of like mainstream usage in everyday life has never been cryptocurrencies. It's always been people. Everyday people that, you know, go work at a 9-to-5 job, they come home to their families, you know, average everyday people don't know anything about cryptocurrency, and therefore they don't own cryptocurrency. But a lot of different technologies, companies, and cryptos have been coming together to try and brainstorm and find different ways that even people that don't know anything about crypto can earn crypto. I know Miami, for example, just recently came out with these different announcements that city employees in Miami can now be paid in cryptocurrency. There's a card, I believe it's crypto.com, is now offering a credit card where instead of cash back in USD, you get cash back in crypto. And they're offering all these different incentives and different ways that everyday people can have access to crypto. And once everyday people have access to crypto, that's when the big change is going to happen. That's when you'll be able to pay with Bitcoin or Ethereum or Monero or all these different coins at basically everything you can think of. If you wanted to go to a gas station 20 years from now and buy a soda, you could have a card loaded with a crypto, with Bitcoin, and pay with it via that. You could receive your checks in cryptocurrency. There's a lot of possibilities for where it could go from here.
Right.
The scenarios I just described may be kind of high thinking, you know, little high up on those clouds, but exactly. But with the direction it's going right now, the possibilities are endless.
So with that happening, like, you know, being able to pay in crypto and all that in the future, do you think that it could bite us in the ass, you know, with the crypto being so fluctuable? Like, you know, it fluctuates more than the stock market, essentially. Like, what if you paid, like, exactly like you said earlier, you paid for pizza on a crypto, and maybe 2 months down the road, it ends up being triple.
Well, that's why I say I don't think crypto could ever 100% replace a fiat currency. There has to be a standard. But what I would like to see it go back to is not a USD standard. I want to see it go back to a metal standard, silver, gold, something physical. That's a standard we need to go back to that we need to base it off of.
Because
there is a difference between money and currency. Especially here in the U.S., in the Constitution, it dictates there is a difference between money and currency. Not a lot of people know this. Money can only be described as physical metal, gold, you know, a gold standard. Currency is essentially what we have now with the U.S. dollar. The two are not interchangeable. They're different.
So with that, what you mean by that, like having a physical coin, like crypto coin, is what you mean? Like it has worth that much?
There's not really a way to do a physical crypto coin that kind of goes against what it is. I'm saying, in relative to what you were saying of the price fluctuations, instead of basing those fluctuations off of something as flimsy and useless as the US dollar, base it off something solid, off something proven. Like a gold standard or a silver standard.
So like Bitcoin, like
things. Yes, the prices would still fluctuate, but it would have a more solid base, in my opinion.
Compared to like others, obviously.
Compared to what we have now.
Now, you think that's more because of Bitcoin's like history, how it's the first ever, and how it's been the top dog?
Well, if you look at its history, it's always gone up steadily. It's highs and its lows, long slumps, short highs. But if you look at the history of Bitcoin from its inception to where it is now, it has climbed.
Now, there's some cryptocurrencies that have the issue of scalability. You think Bitcoin is better at that than most?
Oh, absolutely not. Like I said, Bitcoin's like ancient technology at this point. Bitcoin still utilizes, if you're talking about just Bitcoin, Bitcoin still utilizes the basic blockchain technology. Bitcoin is split off multiple times into like Bitcoin Cash and a couple other different variations that expand on the blockchain usage. But original, true to name Bitcoin that we're talking of now, still uses the oldest blockchain technology.
Now, what's the difference between Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and all these other Bitcoin
branches? It's usage. It's manipulating the blockchain itself. I forget which one it was, but a block on a Bitcoin block can only hold so much data, so many transactions. Well, one of the splits I know was because some people invested in this wanted to increase it, I believe up to like 8 megabytes instead of, I don't know what it was, I think it's 4 originally. I'm probably wrong on that, don't take my word for it, but that in and of itself, just wanting to increase the data size of the blocks was enough to cause a split.
Now, because they're, you know, this is this, that split, are they both like the price pretty much the same with both of them, like no matter what, it'll be tied in, or would
one can fail while the other succeeds. I mean, obviously Bitcoin hasn't been doing much failing here recently. It's been hitting new all-time highs pretty consistently, and that's not to say that all of these other ones that split off of Bitcoin are failing. It's just different utilizations of the technology. And it all ties into what I told you at the start. Bitcoin is not here to solve a technical issue. It's here to solve an economic issue. That's the main reason Bitcoin holds such high value. Even though it's the oldest blockchain technology, even though you have thousands of altcoins that have utilized the blockchain ledger to do hundreds of different things and do it thousands of times faster than Bitcoin, Bitcoin is still top dog for a reason, and it's not because of its technology. It's because of its use case.
Now, do you think anything like the Great Depression could happen to crypto?
Absolutely. It's tough to, I mean, I couldn't sit here and say what would cause it. But, I mean, the crypto market as a whole is very volatile. That's why there's lots of people warn, if you're going into crypto, to, like I said, do your own research. I mean, this is a very volatile market. It, one day you could be up 200%, and the next day you could be down 500%. That's a bit extreme, but just to make a point.
Right. And obviously, put in what you can afford to put in.
Absolutely. That's the number one rule of investing. Don't invest money you can't afford to lose.
Now, is there a possibility, like, I don't know, like, what if the wallet you have your money or crypto on, is it possible to get wiped completely, even if you have all the information to that account?
I can't say for certain. I'm sure there are plenty of instances where stuff, I mean, there have been instances of people having Bitcoin hacked from their wallets. I mean, there's, it can happen. It's a very rare chance, but it can happen.
That's what, do you have any other questions? Has happened. I'm guessing he's still away from keyboard.
I would guess so.
Huh. Now, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'll just reinforce the point. If you care to do anything about getting into crypto, do your own research. Don't take anyone's word at face value for it. Do your own research.
Yeah, that's it. That's good advice. Just research. It's like, I mean, obviously, you know, what we say, we're not experts. Might not, you know, dissuade you or anything like that. You know, I think Bitcoin right now obviously can go up again. Maybe it's a good time to buy in because it's down 6K. I mean, you put in 2K and then it becomes 6K again. If it reaches, you know, 60K, that's good for you. Even if it's not a full coin.
That math doesn't add up. to take 2,000 to 6,000, if you put in 2,000, it would have to triple in value, meaning it would have to hit 150,000 to turn 2,000 to 6,000.
Well, if you're putting like 2K, you know, and you're, you know, just into Bitcoin, and it shoots up 6K, you may basically made 4K, obviously. Correct. But you know, I'm just not doing math. I'm not calculating this shit.
Clearly.
But
we're not experts.
I'm not a mathematician. I don't do magic. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'd say right now it'd be a good opportunity to jump in. Obviously, you could lose out because it could go down again.
Well, I don't recommend just jumping in head first. You know, dip your toe in the water. Like, look around first. But
spend like $100.
With as popular as the crypto market has been becoming recently, and a reason I'm so adamant about do your own research, because there's this huge influx of new people, you have those predators, those shit coins that come around that advertise all these great ideas these people that don't know anything about cryptocurrency and have just jumped in because it's the newest fad right now and go to investing, would invest money into these little coins that promise great ideas and then they all get dumped on. So do your own research.
Now, before we end this off, would you say it's okay to just buy it, put it in the wallet, and just forget about, you know, looking at it ever again? Absolutely. For like a year?
That's absolutely a good thing. That's long-term investing. I mean, that's no different than if you invested in the stock market long-term. You find a project. And I do this. You find a project that you think looks promising or has already made a product and is delivering that is cheap. And yeah, you can just put, if you only have $20, $50, $100, however much you can afford to spend, if it's something you feel will gain great value over time, then by all means, invest into it. Find a good wallet for it. And then, but keep it in the wallet and just set it aside.
Now, you create different wallets?
I need to make an important point about wallets here. Uh-oh. Every wallet you get, every wallet you make or register for, each wallet gives you kind of its own hash. It'll usually be a string of different words, like 12 to 24. That is the only way to recover your wallet should you forget the information. So anytime you make a wallet, and most wallets are good now, it tells you, excuse me, to write this down physically, to always keep a physical copy of this key, this string somewhere. Always record that hash, that string. Have it written down somewhere and keep it safe. So should you ever forget your wallet's information, you can get it back. If you lose that key and forget your information, you've lost everything in that wallet.
Now, should you have multiple wallets, though? Like,
there's actually a famous case right now about, I kind of think it's all a big scam, but there's that guy who has like some insane amount of money locked into a Bitcoin wallet that he couldn't remember the password for. And I think he's down to 2 tries left before it's permanently locked.
Yeah, what about, I think it's like down 8 to 1 million, try. 8 or 9 million or something like that.
Yeah. So
it's kind of funny.
Write this shit down. When a wallet gives you that string, write it down and keep it safe.
But okay, another thing at wallets. Should I have multiple cryptocurrencies on like 2 or 3 wallets?
You don't have to.
But is it
all these different wallets are now trying to like add incentives to get you to choose their wallet. And the way they're doing this is offering staking, like we talked about earlier. Where you can take crypto, like if you had 2 Ethereum and you threw it in a Atomic wallet, and Atomic offered, hey, you can take that Ethereum and that you already have in the wallet with us, and you can stake it and earn passive Ethereum over time. And they all have different return rates and all this other jargon, but if one wallet holds all the coins that you look to, that you're interested in investing in, then you can keep it all in one. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
We'll have to do a part 2 with taxes on this.
I suppose.
I know the taxes can be.
We're not experts on that yet, Spooky. We don't even know anything about that.
Not we'll even find out yet. Next year. Not even yet. I don't want to be giving tax advice on crypto. Oh, yeah. Period. So
we're not really even giving advice. We're just talking about it. Like we're talking about it. We're not saying, hey, go out and buy
you're
this.
You're a crypto influencer.
Yeah, so if you want my opinion, since we're talking about it, taxes on crypto are fucking bullshit.
I mean, taxes in general are bullshit.
Well, it's not just that they're taxing it. I believe now they're trying to somehow enforce it so crypto is taxed twice. Because now they're requiring in the United States that you report any cryptocurrency you own, and that's taxable. But then, because cryptocurrency is, I believe it's valued as property, when you sell it or exchange it for a different crypto, that's a second tax. So, yeah, if you want my opinion, all that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, we'll definitely to get into that in a different conversation.
We might not have that conversation.
I mean, that's basically the conversation right there, truthfully.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Spooky? Any other questions?
There's honestly nothing I could add that would make sense, coherent sense to anybody listening. That's I don't know enough about this to even add comments.
Do you have any other questions that I might be able to answer?
Oh, I could ask questions for days on this, but you know that I might have to pay you for your time.
And for the listeners, do you have any important questions you think I could answer for you right now?
Okay, I have a good one. If someone's never, they've heard of Bitcoin, maybe they've heard of, a couple other things. What's something you could say to them that would, persuade them to want to research this? That's not that it's scary, but like it's a big topic. There's a ton of homework to do to get, you know, to a level to where you fully understand it. What's something that people could do easily to at least get an idea of what they're doing? Like, do you have a website? Do you have,
Well, that kind of ties into what I said earlier about white papers.
Yeah.
White papers are kind of like the outline of the entire project behind the crypto. So if you want to start somewhere, if you find a project that you think looks promising and want to look more into, go straight to the white paper.
Okay, what's...
After that...
Go ahead.
Again, you can go on the different exchanges, look up this coin on the exchanges, and look at its history. Is it a coin that pumped up several dollars and then dumped down to 5 cents? That's a sign it's a pump and dump. You know, probably one to avoid. Is it a project that is making a lot of promises but doesn't actually have a product yet, or is it a project that has already completed itself and is actively working to expand it? You know, there's a lot of different variables to look at. There's no one shortcut. Clear answer I could give you.
So there's no shortcut. It's really, if this is something you're interested in,
there's no way to dumb this down. There's no way to dumb this down. It's no different than people. Yeah, you could just go on the stock market and throw $100 at it and see what happens. That doesn't mean you know what's going on or know patterns or signs to look for or to know what to invest in. Keep holding, boys. But
yeah,
I mean, anyone can just throw money at crypto and just wait to see what happens. But if you want to actually do the research, you're going to have to do the research. But that's, if you want a place to start, that's the best advice I could give. The white paper, and then look it up on an exchange to look at the history of the candle chart. And there are plenty of YouTube videos and online tutorials that tell you how to read a candle chart. They're not as hard as you think.
Now, here's also one thing I'd like to add. Make sure the white papers are from the legitimate source.
Yes.
Be sure it's on their website.
And make sure you're on the right website for the project.
And don't put any sensitive information in.
Always.
Just make sure you're on the right marketplace, the right .com. Obviously, Binance.com is for European and all that, and Binance.us is for the US.
Yep.
So, yeah. What else you got, Spook?
Oh, no, that's it. This is a great conversation. I feel like I actually learned a little bit. I got to add more to my homework list. I'm definitely interested.
Regardless of how much you think I know, trust me, I still have a stacked homework list.
Well, I mean, I know you're not a professional. I mean, you know, you're not.
This is one of the subjects
for 5-6 years. So, you know, I understand that.
This is one of those subjects that, if it's one of those subjects you find fascinating, you could just spend years looking into it and you still won't know everything. And that's kind of the fun in it.
And this is why we have this podcast. We can have a conversation about it. And because we're unverified nerds who want to talk about stuff that we should probably not be talking about.
You want a too long didn't read? Basically, crypto is just like legal gambling.
Illegal gambling.
It's like the stock market, but instead everyone's able to play and win.
Oh, no. It's much better than the stock market. And I can actually explain why. Because stock market goes back to what I was saying about centralized and decentralized exchanges. Stock market is the epitome of a centralized exchange. If this whole GME fiasco didn't prove to everyone that, I mean, as a whole, the stock market's rigged, I don't know what will. But in cryptocurrencies, you have decentralized exchanges, meaning there is no one person or one entity that holds the power over that exchange. And because of that, the people who win is anyone invested in it.
But see, that's powerful. What you're saying is right now, there's a lot of people that don't deal with the stock market. One, because they're too scared. Two, they don't have enough information. Three, they weren't taught what to do. So, you know, it's fishing in the dark.
That's why crypto has boomed over these past couple, especially over these past couple months, was because of what happened with GME.
Well, no, I'm agreeing with
you. And then right after that, you got all these celebrities that just suddenly started talking about crypto. So I understand a lot of people, they hear crypto and it's like, well, I still don't understand what it is. Decentralized exchanges and centralized, and I'm not sitting here saying centralized exchanges and crypto are bad. It's even though I'm fully against KYC, know your customer, I'm fully against that. But regardless, if you're someone who has no experience in crypto and you don't, I mean, it's just not something you want something to invest in, or you just want to say, hey, fuck it, and throw $100 in it and see what happens, centralized exchanges are probably your best bet. But if you really get into crypto and learn a better understanding of what crypto is as a whole and what it's offering the future, chances are, like me, you'll be a huge supporter of decentralized exchanges. Because decentralized exchanges keep the power to anyone. I mean, to anyone who's invested in it. It's not one guy at the top dangling scraps down. It's anyone who's a part of that project can succeed.
Well, that's what I was saying. I believe what you're saying is pretty powerful, because there's people all over the U.S. that know that there are situations that happened today, yesterday, years ago, and years to come, where you kind of feel powerless. Like, well, what can I do? What can my vote say? What can one person do? And I feel like these are opportunities where you as an individual can become as powerful as you want or do nothing at all. There's no one on top of you. There's no quote-unquote bank fees. There's no hidden text. It is what it is. Do your research, figure it out, and
there are,
you can
fees,
make this what you want.
But they're all up front. And all that fee is the gas fee.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be surprised if you go to the store to buy a pop and you got to pay an extra 7 cents. You're not going to be freaking out. There's fees. Everyone knows there's fees, but this isn't one of those things where it's like,
no,
you know, we're going to jack up the price on something random.
That's the thing. Like I was telling Kenny earlier, is that gas fees can fluctuate quite a bit. Like, what was it? Earlier this month, I wasn't planning on trading this crypto. I just wanted to see what the gas rates were at the time. I just tried to trade $10 worth of a crypto to a different crypto. The gas fee on the Ethereum network for that trade was $150 for a $10 trade. But there are plenty of decentralized exchanges that are offering different networks, different blockchains to buy Ethereum coins on. And these are exchanges that are working on reducing gas fees, reducing the transaction times. So don't think that if you go on something like Uniswap and go to trade something and you see a $70 gas fee that, oh, that's it, there's nothing you can do. If you do your own research, you'll realize there's still plenty you can do. That's just the Ethereum network in a crappy spot right now.
So we're going to wrap this up here. Tom, I'm sorry. We're well over our hour mark. So,
oh, trust me, I could keep going. So y'all
maybe we'll come up with a part two. We'll see. We'll have the listeners decide if you guys want to have Tom back for part two.
He does other stuff too. He cooks. He does man stuff.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
I'm going to give you
anyway,
one chance to rephrase that.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to follow our social medias. We'll have them down in the description or anywhere. We're usually on Anchor and Spotify. So
Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah. Just, you know, find us. We'll have the links again. So thank you, Tom, for, you know, being a special guest today.
Yes, thank you.
As always, I'm your special host that, you know, says stupid things, stupid potato, and Spooky Wagon is going to be heading out here with us now. So see you in dog heaven.